Singing of the hymn 310, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. We keep our seats as we sing. To do with the annual Bible conference that we were to have earlier in the year. COVID-19 brought a lot of things to a halt, and it brought our Bible conference to a postponement, and it has been rescheduled for the 18th of October with Pastor Dennis Lyle, who will deal with the subject over the week, problems on the pathway of life. The pastor's here tonight. We're going to ask him to open in prayer. He might like to say something just by way of introduction, but you can come, brother, speak to us, pray, and the Lord will bless tonight's meeting. Thank you. It's good to have your wife as well. Behind every good man, there's an even better woman. My wife told me that.
So. Yeah, especially in Acts 2, Presbyterian. It's lovely to be here tonight.
I do want to say two things just before I pray. During lockdown, Catherine took ill. She was diagnosed with pancreatitis, and she had also cysts on the liver, and we were in contact at that particular time with the Reverend Park, and he kindly put it on the screen, and some of you were praying for her, and the Lord was gracious to her, and we thank God that nothing serious came out of that. Thank you for your prayers. The second thing I want to say is a big thank you to your pastor for his ministry during lockdown. The daily devotions have really been wonderful. They've been encouraging. They've been Christ-centered. They've been Bible-based. They've been enriching and encouraging. And I'm sure, like me, you have benefited from those. And when he sent those to me every morning, I forward them to many people. And many people have been blessed and encouraged and challenged. And some, we believe, have even been saved. And we thank God for that. So a big thank you to him for his hard work during lockdown. And we trust that when those daily devotions are turned into a book, that many will be blessed through the reading of them. Let's bow together in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing upon our coming together. Eternal God, our loving Father, we still our hearts before thee afresh this evening in the Saviour's name. We thank you for this opening hymn. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee for thy word that reminds us the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We thank you for the Lord's words, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. We thank you that we are redeemed tonight, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee that they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We thank you, Lord, tonight there's power, wonder-working power, sin-destroying power, devil-defeating power in the blood of the Lamb. And our Father, we bow before thee tonight as those who have been redeemed, as those who have been reconciled, as those who have been regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, for the working of the Holy Spirit within these hearts and lives of ours. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and thou hast made us alive. We were lost, and we thank you tonight that we're found. We were in the kingdom of Satan, and we rejoice tonight we're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. We thank you, our Father, tonight that thou hast lifted us from that horrible pit and from that miry clay, that God has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And Father, we're here tonight simply to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And Lord, it's the burden of our hearts tonight that those who have stepped into this building tonight without Christ might leave in Christ. That those who have stepped into this building on the road to hell might leave tonight on the road to heaven. Father, we pray to that end for the preaching of the gospel tonight, that it might be in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, for thy servant tonight who will open up the word of the Lord. We pray that you'll lay liberally to his hand this evening. And our Father, we pray that as Christ is presented tonight as the only Savior of sinners, that there might be that drawing power. And our Father, we pray tonight that men and women and boys and girls and young folk might wend their way to Calvary. We would not be parochial in our outlook this evening. We pray, Lord, right across our land tonight, wherever the Lord Jesus is uplifted as the only Savior of sinners. Oh, God bless our province this evening. And Father, we pray that this night there might be a great ingathering of precious souls. Lord, we look to Thee. Salvation is of the Lord. Come tonight. Grant, Lord, that we might sense the presence and the power of the risen Lord Jesus, even in our midst this evening, as we look to Thee in the Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for opening in prayer. Thank you for the kind words. The congregation knows here what a blessing it was to my heart to do the video cast day by day for the period of lockdown, and to continue now just once a week in the will of God for the next little while to do the same. Regarding the book, we thought originally when we were asked to do it that we might get 80 to 90 squeezed in. We're going to try and make it a little bit bigger and go for the 100 video casts, and maybe call it the 100 days of lockdown and see how it goes. Brother, you've been a great encouragement to us during that time. You got them every day, and very often you replied and you telephoned as well. Appreciate the encouragement that you've been. We look forward to you coming now later on in the year for the Bible conference, and if the government doesn't step in and do something to stop these meetings happening, well, we'll continue as we are. We'll be able to come to this building and have the meetings every other row, get the people to sit, do the social distancing. My wife, regarding the book, she made an announcement today because she actually typed the very last one. And she says there's now 114,307 words. And she typed most of them. Arlene Carson's here tonight. I want to thank Arlene. She typed 20 of them. And my son Joshua, he typed 10 of them. And now Karen has the onerous task of going through them all and proofreading them. So probably that 114,307 words will be greatly reduced just to make it all sort of sensible. But that's Karen's task. And thank you, Karen, for the work that you've agreed to do. Now we welcome the congregation. We welcome those that are tuning in tonight on Sermon Audio and on Facebook. We remind you that Thursday night is the prayer meeting and Bible study. And Jonathan Story, one of our Bible College students, will be bringing the message. Next Lord's Day, 12, noon and 7 are the meetings. And in the month of August, we have our open air work. And we're doing that through this month in different parts of the town. And again, doing it very sensibly with social distancing and just one person at the mic. Pray for that ministry. Again, we acknowledge you're bringing in the tithes and offerings for all aspects of church life here and further afield in the mission field. And we want to thank you in the Saviour's name. I'm not going to go through the next announcements slowly because we did this morning, but we did have a special announcement that we began to announce on Thursday night, and that is the necessity to upgrade the IT equipment. A new projector is being installed within the next few weeks. New cameras and operating system will also be sought after. We've all seen the benefit during lockdown of Sermon Audio and Facebook, and we just want to get this up to standard after 14 years. Want to thank those that have contributed. We did get, since last Thursday night, which is 3 days ago, substantial gifts. I had one man who came to us afterwards, knocked on the door after the gospel meeting, or after the meeting on Thursday night, and he had a gift of £500. And other gifts have come in as well. You will know that just the cameras and all that are connected to that project, the operating box, the controller, will probably come to between £18,000 and £20,000. And so far, we have £9,300, and that all came in 2.5 days. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord's great name. And it would be good if in the next 2.5 days we were able to get the rest of it, but we leave that with you. Every little gift, every small gift, every great gift, very much appreciated. Thank you for contributing. Do remember all the services through the next little while over the summer, Sunday services, the Youth Challenge starting on Monday week. And remember our students, Alex, as he's exiting from the college, and Greg there at the end as he's coming into the college for studies, and Jonathan and David as they continue. Remember these needs for prayer during this period of COVID-19. The virus is not away yet. We see right across the world places that are being locked down again, like in Australia, Melbourne, and other places, even in the United Kingdom. And the second wave seems to be trying to make a comeback, or a start at least, across the world. So we need to keep safe. Pray for the protection of your families and for the church family here and for all aspects of church life and the various ones that are involved in serving the Lord in this house. We continue to remember the frontline services, all the doctors and nurses and hospital workers. It's been a sterling work that they've done during this past 4 months, and we salute them highly in the Lord for their work's sake. We continue to remember the sick and the needy connected to the church, and this is the list, as you know. We don't need to go down the names because most of them are there week by week. We continue also to pray for the missionary work at home and abroad as the gospel is still going forth. We ask you to remember Summer Youth Challenge. We had a little service here this afternoon. It was a private service that we agreed to do for a family who live in Kurnani. And the little girl comes to the Sunday school here, but it's a non-converted family. And we agreed to have a little private dedication service for a young child in their home. And they brought in just a few friends to that service. And as a result, preaching to them and speaking to them afterwards, we've got another 4 children at least signed up for the Summer Youth Challenge. And so that was a worthwhile exercise today. Just a little stepping stone to these families. We wonder, how are people going to be reached? How do we reach the unreachable? People that don't go to church, people that have no time really to worship God on the Sabbath day. How do we reach them? And surely there are ways and means under God that we can employ to bring the gospel to them. So you pray that many, many families will be reached in this town with the gospel. We have the Holiday Bible Club online, organized by our mission board, and that will be the following week from Monday the 17th. And then we've mentioned Alex or Alejandro and Vanessa. You got to hear about last night their little baby boy, Ezekiel Bernabeu Rodriguez, or Rodriguez, or whatever way it's pronounced, was born. And we rejoice with this family. This is their third little child, and they will be making arrangements now to go to the land of Spain. Alex will take up the work there in Corticus Nuevas, God willing, at the end of October. So there's a lot of organising in between times to get that all to happen. We will certainly want to have a night here to say farewell. There will be a welcome service for Alex and Vanessa and their family when they go there. And at the same time, a farewell for Lyle and Heather, who have served the Lord for 34 years in the land of Spain. And again, we congratulate Ernie and Molly Monteith. They've celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. As we said this morning, he's an elder in Oma, but for many years not able to get out to the evening service in their own church. They listened in here, and of course their daughter and family members come here. So it's the right thing to do to congratulate them on such a landmark in their life. 70 years married. Again, I'm not going to read these things. We read them this morning. But these are the pastors in India. 104 pastors who have received some help with food during COVID-19. They've struggled greatly. And some of the group photographs. So if you want to get the full details, you can look up this morning's service and you will get a little bit more detail. These things were read out to you. I just wanted to thank the folks in Ulster for all the kindness that they've shown. One of the little things that happened with the book project that we were asked to do, whenever Eric said, what would you like the proceeds to go to? I had just heard from Dipankar of 70 orphans in India, and we thought this would be good to support them. We heard how much it costs to support one child every day. It's £6, or every week. No, sorry, every month. £6.80 for 1 month to feed a child. When you multiply that up by 70 and across the year, that comes to over £5,000. We have enough money in before the book is sold to feed these orphans for over 2 years and get that food delivered to them. And these are children just yesterday who received little food packages to help them. So you remember these orphans and the project that we're seeking to do. There were 17 other pastors helped with bags of rice. And again, these photographs were sent to me just today by way of thanks, saying to the congregation and to the folks here, thank you in the Saviour's name. We made an appeal for the toilet for the remote tribal people in Pakistan and the water hand pump. These are the bricks for the toilet construction. And this is the mechanism that they use to drill into the ground, get the water, bring it up with a hand pump. It's a very simple structure, and our sister that's working with these tribal people would love to do that in many other little villages and hamlets. We were able to preach in Pakistan this morning on the four dimensions of the love of God. On the left-hand side, that's the words of John 3:16 in the Urdu language. And these are some of the people that attended the congregation this morning that we had the opportunity to preach to and to pray for. Because after preaching, I was brought to various individuals who had particular needs, and I was asked, would you pray for them? Then it was pointed out this afternoon that this man converted from Hinduism to Islam with his family, and he did that for clothes, food, and a place to stay. And her sister tells me they will now be kept as slaves, and their daughters will be abused, all for food, clothes, and a place to stay. So very sad cases. This is an orphan girl that lives with her uncle. She works all day doing cleaning chores for 2 loaves of bread. And the message came to me today, her stomach hurts because the bread is dry and stale. I don't know what age that little girl is. She's probably 11 or 12 by the looks of it. There's some children here tonight and you're not very old. How would you like to do chores in someone's house all day for 2 loaves of bread? So it's a needy work. Remember them in prayer. Now we worship God by singing 202. In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me.
Thank you.
last verse again. It was my fault that there was a slight delay. We'll sing the verse without the music, and then we'll all come in, including our sisters on the chorus. So while the hours are passing, well, now is perfect rest. Open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin to read at the opening verse of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Ending the reading at the 14th verse. May the Lord bless his word to every heart. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this service tonight. We rejoice in the precious blood of which we have been singing, that blood that bought us, that grace that drew us to the fold. Oh, we would magnify the grace of God in our lives tonight and rejoice in all that Christ has wrought for us. Thank you for this beautiful passage of the Word of God here in Ephesians chapter 1. It's all about Christ, in Christ, in the Beloved, in whom, all these things. And Lord, we thank thee for the many gathered here this evening, and we are in Christ. Thank thee for the day that we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we thank thee for the triumph of divine grace in us. We pray that thou will bless
The Word of God that we've read, we praise thee for its power, its quickness in our hearts. Lord, make it live. Help us to understand it. Apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit to every heart tonight. And as we come to meditate a little time in your word, oh gracious God, speak to all that are here and bring honor and glory to the dear Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. And tonight I want to take for our text the words of verse 7 and speak on the subject of redemption, the greatest theme known to man. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is different compared to his many other letters. Like Romans, Ephesians was not written so much to address problems in a particular church. It was written to explain some of the great themes and doctrines of Christianity. The great gospel subjects of this epistle makes it highly praised by the commentators. Ephesians has been called the queen of the epistles. It sums up all the important teachings of Paul's writings. There is a peculiar and sustained loftiness in its teaching, which has deeply impressed the greatest minds and has earned for it the title, the Epistle of the Ascension. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The Epistle to the Ephesians is a complete body of divinity. In the first chapter, you have the doctrines of the gospel. In the next, you have the experience of the Christians. And before the epistle is finished, you have the precepts of the Christian faith. Whosoever would see Christianity in one treatise, let him read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the epistle to the Ephesians." One of the great themes, in fact, you could say tonight, the greatest theme highlighted by Paul in this epistle is that of redemption. And we have it here emphasized in our text tonight in verse 7. Redemption always implies a price being paid for the freedom that is purchased. It comes from the ancient Greek word that means to liberate on the receipt of a ransom. And here the reference is to the redemption of God's people, the mighty price that was paid for our salvation, to liberate us from the bondage of sin and bestow upon us mercy and forgiveness, bringing peace and reconciliation to God. Here indeed is a high, exalted truth that will abundantly thrill the people of God, and it will bring hope and challenge to those who are still in their sin. If you're a child of God in this meeting tonight, rejoice. Rejoice in the mighty sum that was paid for your redemption. And if you're a stranger to God's grace, you're still in your sin, you're on the road to hell, you're marching swiftly towards the precipice of a lost eternity, I want you to sit up and pay attention. May it please God tonight to speak to you, to open your eyes, to unstop your ears, to stir your soul, and to burden your heart and bring you to Christ. Redemption, the greatest thing known to man. And I want you to notice, first of all, the price of redemption. And we see it in the little phrase here, redemption through his blood. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of redemption, the redemptive work of Christ. And here we are led to the cross. We are led to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to that one and for all time offering for sin. There is no salvation without the blood. There is no mercy. There is no peace. There's no reconciliation. There's no entrance into the kingdom of God. There's no eternal life. There's no heaven apart from the blood of the Savior. We are redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot.
entrance into heaven is by the blood of the Lamb alone. There's a lovely children's hymn, and I like to sing it practically every children's day, written by Anne Shepherd, which speaks about thousands of children standing around the throne of God in heaven with flowing robes of spotless white. And the hymn writer asks the question in that hymn, what brought them to that world above, that heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love? How came those children there? And she immediately answers this all-important searching question by bringing us to the cross where the blood was shed. Because the Savior shed his blood to wash away their sin, bathed in that pure and precious flood, behold them white and clean. And this hymn, of course, is based upon that tremendous text in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, where we have this great company of people gathered around the throne of God that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Here is the great innumerable company of redeemed souls gathered in glory around the eternal majestic throne of God, men and women, boys and girls from every nation, every kindred, every people, and every tongue. And what gave them the right to be there? How did they enter in? Why were they received into the holy, infinite presence of God in heaven? And the answer is simple. These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And here, my friends, is our entitlement to heaven. It's the means of entry. Standing in white robes of righteousness, fully accepted. What is that entitlement? It is the blood of the Lamb. Indeed, redemption. On earth, they sought Christ. On earth, they washed by faith in the crimson tide of Calvary's cross. On earth, they trusted in the redeeming blood of Christ crucified. Tell me tonight, have you got this experience? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been made clean? For nothing else will do. The blood of Christ was the price of redemption. Let me ask you a question. What price would you put on the salvation of your soul? What price tonight would you put in going to heaven? If you believe the truth of God at all, if you believe tonight that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, that the holiness and the justice of God demands payment for sin, and that payment must be made by the sinner and made personally in hell forevermore, in the blackness of darkness forever, in the torments of the flames of eternal punishment, where the soul and the body will suffer the eternal night of a lost sinner's hell throughout the countless ages of eternity. My dear friends, if you believe that, what price would you put on the salvation of your precious, immortal soul? What would you be prepared to do? What would you be prepared to give? What would you be prepared to suffer if only your soul could be saved and you become an inheritor of eternal life in heaven? I hear one man say, I would give everything that I have. I would give all my money, all my possessions, all my property, everything, if it meant the salvation of my soul. I hear another say, I would be devoutly religious for the remainder of my life, all the years that I might have on this earth, like the monk Martin Luther, who did everything within his power to obtain peace with God and eternal life. He observed every discipline, praying, fasting, watching, confessing his sins. He literally, we're told, tortured his body to obtain peace for his soul. Some man might say, I'm ready for that.
Then another might say, I would crawl on my hands and knees on broken glass from John O'Groats to Land's End. I think that's the two extreme places up in Scotland and in England. I'm prepared to do that on my hands and knees if it meant the salvation of my soul. Maybe there's some poor Roman Catholic would say, I would live according to all the rites and the rituals of my church. And I would die. And I would be prepared to go to purgatory for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, whatever it might be, and to burn in the fires of purgatory for that period of time, if it means the salvation of my soul. My dear friends, none of these things can bring salvation. There's nothing else that can do but the blood of Christ. There's nothing that we can do. Doesn't Paul make that plain in this very epistle? Especially when you come to chapter 2 and those great texts in verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there is a cost. There is a price. There is a payment. And that is the blood of Christ. Come with me to the cross and see the Savior die. Mark the wounds. There in his head, his hands, his feet, his back, his riven side. From the thorn wounds on his brow, the blood comes running down. See it ooze from his hands and from his feet, into which the nails were driven. Watch it gush in a sacrificial offering as it pours forth from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray in your heart this very moment, lead me to Calvary. Show me the wounds of Jesus. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. The price of redemption is the blood of Christ. Redemption through his blood. But then secondly, we have the procurement of redemption. What does redemption procure? It procures for us, for the repenting sinner, the forgiveness of sins. The redemption of Christ by his own precious blood, poured out upon the cross of Calvary, has obtained the forgiveness of sins. This is one of the most precious thoughts in the text. Sin. Or should I say sins in the plural? For they are many, too innumerable for me to count. Sins which separated me from God in this life, and sins which threatened to separate me from God through the countless ages of eternity. Sins that condemned me, for I was condemned already. Sins that would damn my soul in hell forevermore. Praise God, these sins can find forgiveness with God. And this is brought about by the redemptive work of Christ upon the cross and the shedding of his blood. How many sins have I committed? I don't know. If I would try to count them, undoubtedly they are more than can be numbered. Sins of a lifetime. Sins of childhood. Sins of adolescence, sins of young manhood, sins of the middle years, and so on, right through the years of life. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins off the head and the hand and the feet and the heart and the mind. Sins of the eyes and the ears and the tongue and the body. Sins against God, sins against my family, sins against my neighbor, sins against my friends, sins against my enemies. Aye, even against strangers that I did not know. We are so sinful. We are so imperfect. I think it's true to say that we sin every second of every day. That's how impure we are in the sight of God. But just suppose that we sin every minute. That's 60 sins in an hour. That's easy to work out. That's 1,440 sins every day.
That's 10,080 sins each week. And if you were to multiply that up to the year, 524,160 sins every year.
And now just begin to multiply that up in the years of your life, sinning all the time against God.
How can these sins be dealt with? How can these sins be removed? How can they be forgiven? By the redemption of Christ. For his redeeming work dealt with all our sins. 20 centuries ago, the angel Gabriel appeared to a troubled carpenter to alleviate his fears, to reassure him about the purity of his intended wife Mary, and to inform him about the child that was conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the angel declared, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what he came to do. 30 years later, after this angelic announcement, this babe who had now grown into manhood was publicly introduced to the world by John the Baptist as he stood there on the banks of the Jordan, and he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Sin is removed by the blood of God's Son. There's no other way. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And here is the source of forgiveness. You can receive a pardon from God. Your sins can be forgiven completely. Every last sin that you have committed, sins that you painfully remember, and sins that you have neglectfully forgotten, sins of the greatest magnitude, deep, dark, vile, terrible sins against God and man, and sins which, in your opinion, are small and insignificant, and there's no such thing. Sin is sin in the sight of God. One sin has the potential of damning your soul in hell forevermore, for there's no such thing as a small sin. But my friend, every sin can be forgiven. Every sin is a great sin against God. Every sin is a violation of God's holy commandments. And every sin carries the just penalty of death and destruction. Every sin put the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, and he suffered for our sins. Do you stand forgiven before a holy God tonight? You can obtain redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You can receive that mercy now, just where you're sitting, right now in this meeting. Just cry to God for forgiveness. Like the man who went to the temple that day, along with the Pharisee. The Pharisee, you remember how he prayed? It was no prayer at all. It wasn't true prayer. But the publican, we're told by the Savior, not even able to lift his eyes toward heaven, he stood with his head bowed in the temple, and he smote upon his breast. You remember what he cried? "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And he went home justified. You bow your head in this house of God tonight, and you pray that kind of prayer from your heart, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You will go home justified. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Oh, you cry out for forgiveness tonight, and the blood of Jesus will put your sins away. And then thirdly, there is the path of redemption. It's according to the riches of his grace. Redemption. And the forgiveness of sin come to us according to the measure of the riches of his grace. The grace of God is immense. It is seen in the word riches that is used here. Someone has said that grace is the most important concept in the Bible, in true Christianity. It is here that every false religion and every cult fails, because salvation is by grace alone. Don't we love to sing the words of the hymn, "Saved by grace alone"? This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. Emphasis is given to God's grace in this epistle. The word grace, in fact, is mentioned 12 times over in the book. The salvation of Christ, all that has been accomplished in his redemptive purpose, comes to the repentant sinner through the grace of God alone. We've already mentioned what the apostle went on to write in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Let me just come to that text again, but also take in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God that found the ransom price. It is the grace of God that gave his Son to die on the cross. It is the grace of God, my dear friends, that brought the blessed Savior from the heights of glory to the depths of Calvary, where he endured all the suffering needful for our forgiveness. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It didn't work for our salvation and forgiveness, nor could we. We didn't merit it in any way. We didn't buy it with a huge sum of money. That can't be done. It's all of grace. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. It's his favor to the ill-deserving and the undeserving. It's the opposite of karma. I'm reading a lot in some of the little blogs that you have on the website, especially from the United States, about karma, which is about getting what you deserve. My friends, grace is the opposite to that. We don't get what we deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve the wrath of God in a lost sinner's hell forevermore. I deserve justly to be punished for my sin. But I'm saved by grace tonight. I have redemption through the blood of Christ because of the riches of God's grace. And therefore, I do not get what I deserve. But Jesus Christ took what I deserved upon the cross of Calvary for me, because he loved me. And he gave himself for me. Have you got redemption tonight through the blood of the Savior? Do you know what I'm speaking about when we talk about the riches of God's grace? You can be saved. You can be saved right now. You can go home justified. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the doctrines of the gospel. We praise thee for the great teachings emphasized by the apostle in the book of Ephesians, and not least redemption. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. We know that many in this church building tonight, many too, they're listening in on the internet. They have been made recipients of this grace. And they can speak about redemption, and they can sing about redemption through the blood of the Savior, and so sing with tremendous joy in our hearts. And for all the Lord hath done for me, I never will cease to praise him. For I do not and I will not get what I deserve. But Jesus paid it all. And Jesus took what I deserved upon himself when he became sin for me. And he was made that sacrifice for sin, took the punishment that I deserved. O Lord God, we pray tonight that your people will rejoice in the truth of this text and leave rejoicing. And for those that are not saved, that indeed their eyes will be opened to see and their hearts made to comprehend the truth of God and redemption. And how, as they come to Christ in repentance, they can receive forgiveness, pardon and peace with God forever, and go home justified. Separate us now with your blessing from the house of God
and let your word live on for Jesus' sake. Amen. We thank you for coming to the meeting tonight, for being part of this service here in the building, and those that are listening on the internet. Trust the Lord will bless you and keep you this week. And may we rejoice in what we've heard tonight. And may that text, if you hear nothing else or remember nothing else, just memorize that text. You probably know it already. Let it do you good every day this week. Redemption. What a theme. You'll be told how to leave safely tonight, row by row. Thank you.